Good evening. Welcome to our Sunday night Bible study tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about what heaven will be like. What is heaven going to be like? That's the question many Christians ask today. What will heaven be like? We're going to look at five amazing things we can be sure of. I thought a lot about heaven this year. This past year. Maybe more than ever before. Loss of a loved one will do that for you. Within my own life, since I gave my heart to Jesus, I've lost my mother, my loving wife last year, some close relatives, many friends who left this world and passing through heaven's gates. Their stories were all different, some very old, some not so old, but they all loved Jesus with all their heart. And though the pain lingers within my heart, we know that they're in a much better place. No more cancer, struggling, tears, or suffering. No more pain. Sometimes I've wished I could see how they are, that I could know what they're doing, or if they look down on us. Over time, I found that reading verses in God's Word and studying about heaven has soothed my heart and brought me hope. Here's the truth from the world that often seems unfair. This world will pass away. It's not all we have. As believers, we know that truth, that death, cancer, accident, sickness, addiction, none of these things hold the final sting. For Christ conquered death on the cross, and because of His gift, we have eternity and eternal life to look forward to. We can be confident heaven is real and full of hope, for that's where Jesus reigns. If you find yourself in a dark place right now, wondering about heaven, take heart. God knows the ache you carry. He understands the questions you have and the struggle to understand. He wants to remind us that there's glory ahead. As we look to what He is preparing for us as believers, may it give us 1 ounce of strength we need now to press on and boldly share the truth and the light of Jesus in a dark world. Tonight, we want to look at 5 promises from God's Word to remind us heaven is real and there's hope ahead. Before we get into our message, let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for tonight. We thank You, Lord, for the rain that's going down outside. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come in Your presence tonight, in the presence of the folks that are here, and teach Your Word. Father, help us as we teach Your Word tonight. Give us strength, give us power, give us wisdom, and give us understanding of Your Word. And we'll be careful to give You praise for all things. We ask You, Lord, that You would be with those that are sick, be with those that are hurting, be with those that are suffering today. Father, we ask You, Lord, that You would touch their heart and heal their bodies. Father, we pray, God, for those that have lost loved ones this year due to this dreadful disease we're dealing with. God, we ask You, Lord, to fill their hearts with Your presence and Your peace. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for loving us. We thank You, Lord, for Christ dying on the cross to save us from our sins. And we thank You, Lord, most of all, for preparing a place for us when we die, when we leave this walks of life. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen. Tonight, as we look at 5 promises from God's Word to remind us heaven is real and there's hope ahead, we want to look at the first thing. Heaven is a real place, and Jesus is preparing a place for us to live there with Him. Jesus comforted His disciples with these powerful words at the Last Supper just before His journey to the cross. And they still hold the power to bring great comfort and peace to our troubled, uncertain hearts today. If you'll open your Bibles tonight to John chapter 14, we'll read verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. No greater promise has been made by our Lord that we will spend eternity with Him, that He is preparing a place for us right now, for all those that love Him, all those that worship Him, all those that serve Him. What it tells us in these verses is this: we don't have to be afraid of death. No, when a Christian dies, the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. We don't have to be afraid of death. Death is something that everyone will go through. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. We know we're all going to die. That old thing that was brought on by Adam and Eve, that death of the body we all face, was brought down to humanity from Adam and Eve, and we all will face death at one time or another in our life. Some before others. All of us will face that pain of death as we know it in this life. We don't have to live a life of trouble in our hearts and wrestle with our own thoughts about death. His promises us that heaven is a real place and it's big enough to hold every believer. It's not the image we have heard of or seen of just clouds in the sky where we float around playing harps, being bored forever. Jesus is there and is working to prepare a place for us to live there too. He assures us He will come again and that all believers will be there someday. And if our Maker has created us with such uniqueness and power, we can become confident that our heavenly dwelling place will be greater than we could ever imagine, because that's just the way He reinvented heaven for us to not know what it's going to be like. The Bible says it is greater than anything we can imagine. Heaven, secondly, heaven is amazing and more than our mortal minds can conceive. God's Word clearly reminds us that we just simply can't comprehend all that's still in store for all of us when we leave this walks of life. It's that good. It's that amazing. And in a world that we can often feel like dark clouds are surrounding us and is full of struggles and worries of our loved ones passing on, that thought can be hard to even begin to wrap our minds around. But God's Word says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. The Bible says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." For those who have trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, we are promised an incredible future and eternity with God. Just knowing that this life is not all there is can give us the perseverance to carry on through the toughest of times. We have so much to still look forward to when we leave this world. The Bible talks much more about the free gift of Christ and the forgiveness of the new life He alone can offer than it does about exactly what to expect in heaven. I think there's a clear reminder to us to stay alert and active in sharing light and love in a world that needs His hope. This life is short. I was talking in a message this morning about life is just a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow. We don't know when all of these things will come to pass. We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know when our loved ones are going to die. But we can rest assured that this life, though it is short, times go past fast. Let us our days widely, so that many more have a chance to hear God's truth now and experience heaven someday. Thirdly, Heaven is a place of true joy and freedom, with more, no more death, no more suffering, and no more pain. That is the third thing we're going to talk about tonight. Heaven is a place of pure, unrestricted joy and eternal freedom. No longer will we have to deal with death. No longer will we have to deal with suffering. No longer will we have to deal with pain. This promise brings us so much hope in a world that knows great suffering, loss, and pain. It's hard to imagine even one day without some trouble or some pain afflicting those we love. Because we're so human and caught up in sin or struggle, we can't even begin to comprehend an eternity of no more pain and sorrow. Woe, that is simply mind-blowing and so much great news for all of us here today. We, as Christians, will never face the sting of death when we get to heaven. We'll never face the sting of getting old. We'll never face the sting of getting a disease. We'll never face the sting of getting that thing that hinders our body from worshiping God. We can't even begin to comprehend an eternity of no more pain, sorrow, and all these things that God offers us in heaven. But, my friend, if you have ever suffered illness, disease, or held the hand of a loved one who is in such pain at the end of their life, this is great comfort. There will be no pain in heaven. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more death in heaven. We all will live throughout eternity. If you've ever experienced great anguish of the soul, or have struggled through addictions, or walked a painful road through trauma or abuse, if you are a believer, there's hope still ahead. Heaven is a place where truly the old is gone and the new is come. The struggle and pain we carry here will be lifted away. We all will be healed with new glorified bodies like Jesus has. We will be set free in every way of the burdens that now weigh us down. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. And I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. Listen to verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither any sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Oh, my friend, how precious that statement that we read in Revelation is to all Christians today. No more death, no more sickness, no more crying, no more pain, no more things that will hinder this body. No more death, no more mourning, no more pain. God will be with us, and he will wipe away all tears for the very last time. Heaven is a place of never-ending joy. God's ever-present goodness, freedom from every bodily ailment, and eternal life in Christ's presence. Fourthly, the fourth promise we have from the Word of God is our bodies will be transformed into spiritual bodies like Jesus has. God promises that he will make all things new. We will have heavenly bodies for eternity and won't be succumbed with sickness or physical weakness that we know here on earth. Contrary to some popular ideas out there, we do not become angels in heaven. There are angelic beings. The Bible is clear about that and gives many descriptions of them in heaven and on earth. However, we don't suddenly become an angel once we get to heaven. We are God's children and receive that amazing gift of eternal life because of Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35 through 44. But some men will say, how are the dead raised? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it pleases him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. They are celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Listen, my friend, we will not become angels when we get to heaven. I know what TV shows show, but we will not have wings when we get to heaven. We will be like Jesus. We will have bodies just like his. Paul continues in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 through 57. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Think about that, my friend. Death is swallowed up in victory. Where did we get this victory? Look in verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now think about that for a minute. We overcome death because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection give us an opportunity to overcome death. Jesus says this. He says, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Listen, my friend. We will be raised in glory. We will be raised a corruptible body, but given a spiritual body. We will be raised corruptible, but given a body that is immortal, that will never get tired, never get sick, never grow old, never have any ailments, never be subject to the diseases and the things we offer that the world offers today. Other stories and scriptures in the Bible tell us that our heavenly bodies and the lives will resemble who we are today, and that we will recognize others in heaven we know here on earth, such as 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, Paul says, but then shall I know even also as I am known. What does that tell us, my friend? That tells us that we'll know our loved ones in heaven. That tells us we'll recognize those we've led to the Lord. That tells us we will recognize everyone in heaven. We'll recognize our friends. We'll recognize our family. We'll see them as they are. Paul says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then..." When is that? At the rapture of the church, when we get to heaven. "But then, face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." Many may wonder, what about when a baby dies or an older person dies? Is that the age they continue to be in heaven? Well, though the Bible isn't totally clear on this subject, we can believe that if Christ is giving us a body, that will be for all eternity. It must be a body that can withstand anything. Now, many Bible scholars that I have read believe we will all be the age Jesus was when he died on the cross, 33 years of age, but I can attest to that. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us how old we will be. We will be a child that has passed away. Will that person still be a child? That old person, will they come with an old body? That young person, will they come with a young body? The Bible does not tell us. The Bible is silent on that. The Bible nowhere tells us exactly how old we will be when we get to heaven. Now, since God is the creator of all things, it will be the best body ever and far greater than we have had here on earth. And if God is giving us a new body and eternal life, we can be sure that he has great purpose for us still in heaven. Fifthly, heaven is beautiful and a whole new environment than we have ever known. For God dwells there and makes all things new. Through the chapters of Revelation, we can find glimpses of heaven and what is still to come. As John reveals the vision given to him in Revelation chapter 21, he describes in detail the beauty of that city, its gates, its walls, and the amazing truth that it is the very dwelling place of God. Revelation chapter 21, verse 17 through 23. "And he measured the wall thereof, and 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundation of the wall of that city was garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third carbuncle, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth sapphirus, the 11th jacinth, the 12th an amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of that city was pure gold, as it was transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Think about this passage, my friend. Think about what heaven's going to be like. All of these fabulous stones. Now, they're not like stones we have here on earth. These are pure topazes, pure chrysolites, pure sapphires, pure carbuncle, pure All of these are pure amethyst. All of this gold that the streets are lined of is pure gold. 100% gold. Not like the gold we have today. And these pearls that make up the gates of the pearl. These pearls are going to be exquisite pearls. This city is going to be so fascinating. Our mansions will be inside this city. And this city will be so glorious, we can't even fathom what God has prepared for us. Notice what the Bible says. And I want you to think about this, my friend. I want you to think about this in your own life today. I want you to think about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 10. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Notice that. Our mind cannot even conceive it. Our mind has no way to conceive what God has prepared for us. We cannot even imagine what God has prepared for us. Think about that. We cannot even fathom what God has prepared for us. But the Bible also says, the Spirit, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So, we have here in Revelation chapter 21 a picture of what heaven will be like. The streets will be pure gold. We will walk on streets of gold with these walls, 12 foundations for the 12 apostles. These walls will be all around us. We'll live inside that city. God's powerful presence is greater than any darkness we may face on this earth. And there is no darkness there in heaven. His words go on to say that in eternity the gates will not be shut and there will be no night there. There will be nothing impure, no shame, no deceit, but only those whose names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Sixthly and finally, heaven is real. And so is hell. I want you to listen. Heaven is a real place, but so is hell. Jesus spent more time talking about hell and its reality than any other person in the Bible. He didn't talk about it to scare us or to simply stir up strife. He told us of heaven and of hell too, so that we could make the best choice of where we spend eternity. And it comes down to that. It's a choice we must all make. I'll say that again. Christ didn't say this. Christ didn't mention hell to scare us. He wanted to warn us. He wanted to show us there's a better place. That's why he talked about heaven. But it's a choice we all must make. It comes down to that. It's a choice that each of us must make before we pass from this life. We can know for a fact that as much as people want to joke about hell as one big party, it will be no party at all. Just as heaven is a place of light and freedom, hell is a place of darkness, despair, and suffering. If you're listening to this now, or you aren't sure where you will spend eternity, take a few minutes to talk with God and get things straight before you die. Don't wait. We're not promised tomorrow. Here's truth. Christ came to set us free. He chose to die on the cross. He was willing to do that for you and for me so that we can be forgiven of sin and the wrong in our lives and receive the gift of eternal life. That, my friend, is true freedom. There's no other way that you can be saved but through Jesus. John 14, verse 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He that cometh to me must come through me. Listen, my friend, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. That is Jesus speaking. You cannot be saved any other way than coming through the cross of Christ. The freedom He offers is a freedom from all death. It's a freedom from all sickness. It's a freedom from everything we face in this life. He was buried and placed in a tomb, but He didn't stay dead. He rose again the third day and is now in heaven with God. He defeated death and has given us His Spirit to help us in this life. The Bible says if we confess Him as Lord and Savior and believe in our hearts that God's raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. Pray to Him today and know that He is with you always and won't ever let you go. My friend, I want to lead you in a prayer of repentance tonight. For all of those that may be listening to this word, that have placed their trust in man, that have placed their trust in Muhammad, that have placed their trust in Buddha, all of these people, Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the only way in a relationship with God. Jesus is the only way you're ever going to get in eternal life and be with God in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to bring Your word tonight. We ask You, Lord, that anyone that's listening to this message that may be lost, to repeat this prayer. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I need You to save me from my sin. I understand that You went to the cross to pay my sin debt. I understand that, and I believe that You died and rose the third day. I believe that You came and You are now ascended into heaven as the, on the right hand of the Father. I believe You love me. I believe that You want to save me. I believe that I can't save myself. Save me, Lord. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin and be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name I ask it all. Lord, if they have prayed this prayer and if they have prayed it from the heart and they meant what they prayed, Lord, save them. Lord, we ask You that You would give us the opportunity to witness. Give us the opportunity to reach out in this world to the lost. Give our church the opportunity to reach those people that need Jesus so badly in our world. Thank You, Lord, for loving us enough to send Your Son to die for us. Thank You, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to be the children of God. For the Bible says that he who believes in Jesus has eternal life. And we thank You, Lord, for that. We thank You, Lord, for providing salvation to all of those in this life. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.